This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello, and welcome to today's readings of selections from the August-September issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, we have our editor's picks of the most intriguing new releases for August and September. We have reviews in contemporary culture, including a review of Fascism, A Warning by Madeleine Albright with Bill Woodward, read by Madeleine Albright. And the icing on this week's audio cake is a conversation with Golden Voice narrator Simon Vance. Let's get right to it. Editor's picks of the most intriguing upcoming releases in August and September. From author Martha Wells, we have Rogue Protocol. We loved Kevin R. Free's renditions of the first two Murderbot Diaries novellas, and we're eager to hear this third installment. From David Quammen, we have The Tangled Tree, a radical new history of life. Science writer Quammen, who also wrote Spillover, turns his gaze to molecular biology and how recent discoveries have changed the way we think about the evolution and DNA. It's read by Jacques Roy. From Alexander Langlands, we have Craft, an inquiry into the origins and true meaning of crafts. I think that should be craft. It's probably a magazine typo. Whether you're someone who practices a craft or who just appreciates craftsmanship, this should be a fascinating listen, as read by Matthew Lloyd Davies. From Jacqueline Woodson, we have Harbor Me. Six kids find a space where they can share their stories and each other in this new middle grade novel from Jacqueline Woodson, and it's read by a group of talented narrators. From Kwame Anthony Appiah, we have The Lies That Bind, Rethinking Identity. Philosopher Appiah takes on the history of the many identities we claim for ourselves and how they have hurt or helped the ultimate advancement of humanity. Reader to be announced. From author Bill Cunningham, we have Fashion Climbing. Before he became a celebrated New York Times fashion photographer, Cunningham was a young man making his way in the fashion world of New York City. This posthumous memoir is a must-listen, as read by Arthur Morey. From Jasmine Guillory, we have The Proposal, another fun romance from the author-narrator team behind The Wedding Date, this time about a public proposal gone wrong, read by Janina Edwards. From Sonia D. Williams, we have Word Warrior, Richard Durham, Radio, and Freedom. Robin Miles educates listeners about the life and work of African-American radio broadcaster Richard Durham. From Pat Barker, we have The Silence of the Girls, a new view of the Iliad's Trojan War from the perspective of Briseis and other women held captive by the Greek army. It's read by Michael Fox and Kristen Atherton. From Neil deGrasse Tyson and Avis Lang, we have Accessory to War, the unspoken alliance between astrophysics and the military. A history of space and strange bedfellows from your favorite astrophysicist, Neil deGrasse Tyson. The reader has to be announced. From Sally Field, we have In Pieces, a first memoir from actress Sally Field, delivered in her own voice. From Tim Federle, we have Nate Expectations. What happens when you've appeared in a Broadway musical and then have to return home and start high school? The long-awaited conclusion to Federle's middle-grade Nate series is sure to have fans cheering, and it's read by the author. From Carlos Ruiz Zafón, we have The Labyrinth of the Spirits, the conclusion to Spanish author Zafón's series, begun in 2004 with The Shadow of the Wind. The reader is yet to be announced. From Doris Kearns Goodwin, we have Leadership in Turbulent Times. Historian Goodwin examines the lives and careers of four presidents, Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and Lyndon B. Johnson. The reader is to be announced. From Reese Witherspoon, we have Whiskey in a Teacup, What Growing Up in the South Taught Me About Life, Love, and Baking Biscuits. You'll want to listen in for some Southern hospitality from actress and book club aficionado Reese Witherspoon, who reads her own work. From Jose Antonio Vargas, we have Dear America, Notes of an Undocumented Citizen. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Vargas, himself an undocumented immigrant, explores the toll of living in a country that considers you to be illegal. The reader to be announced. From Deborah Harkness, we have Time's Convert, a vampire tale from the author of A Discovery of Witches. Reader to be announced. From Kate Atkinson, we have Transcription. A BBC radio producer has to reckon with the consequences of her former life as a young spy. Fenella Woolgar won an Earphones Award for her narration of Atkinson's life after life, and she will read Transcription. From Ben Fountain, we have Beautiful Country, Burn Again, Democracy, Rebellion, and Revolution. Fountain argues that the U.S. may be in the midst of a third great existential crisis. Reader to be announced. And finally, from Alex London, we have Black Wings Beating. A new young adult fantasy series kicks off with this story of a brother and sister trained in the art of falconry. And that reader has yet to be announced. Okay, we will leave our intriguing new titles and we will have a conversation with Simon Vance. Audiophile's Josephine Reed talked with narrator Simon Vance about his varied and diverse audiobook career. This is an excerpt of their conversation, and you can listen to the full podcast on Audiophile's blog at audiophilemagazine.com/blog and look for the right one. Josephine Reed says, "Tell me how you choose what projects to take on." Simon Vance, "Well, probably people think I sit on my throne and, like the famous actors, can look at a pile of scripts and say, I'll do that one and not that one or maybe that one. To be honest, I do pretty much what I'm sent, and I'm happy to do that. It's rare, although it has occurred, that I get books that I don't enjoy so much, but it's very rare that I will hate a book. This is my job. This is what I do. This is what I'm paid for. This gives me my standard of living, if you like. So I'm not overwhelmed with authors such that I can sit there and go, yes, that. No, not that one. There's a little bit of juggling occasionally when I get a lot of offers at the same time, but I will almost always try to do everything I'm sent. So there really isn't that position of deciding one way or another on what I want to do. I have preferences. I mean, my main preference is, the one thing I loved reading, was Charles Dickens. But unfortunately, he died a little while ago and doesn't write any more books. And I've done pretty much all of them. Joe Reed, yes, you have, because I've listened to them. Because I love Charles Dickens, and Great Expectations is my favorite book, bar none. Dickens draws his characters with such specificity that we all have a sense of who these people are. Did you find that challenging when you came to narrate? Simon Vance. Well, I love Dickens, precisely because he does draw his characters so clearly. And it's a gift to a narrator, because he often will spend a paragraph or two before somebody actually says something, describing who they are. And the names of the characters describe who they are, Mr. Jolly, Mr. Cheery, or whatever, and you get a sense of who they are. So the voice sort of comes out from that. One thing I would say about a lot of the Victorians, there's a different style of writing. Sometimes in our modern age, when a person reads their words on the page, they may not quite get the whole sense of the sentence because of the way it's written. I'm thinking of Anthony Trollope to some extent. He wrote some convoluted sentences that are difficult to pick off the page for a modern reader. Whereas if you make them audible, as I do, with the understanding that I have of how language works, it instantly translates into sense of what is meant. Listening to a storyteller is actually a better experience than reading the words on the page. I think that's probably what I'm trying to get down to. So I think that applies to everything, not just Dickens. I grew up with a lot of Dickens on television, Dickens on film, Dickens on the radio. I have a lot of different versions of Dickens in my head. It never bothered me to do my own. In a way, it was my joy to pull my own, as it were, to pull my own out of my own brain and say, oh, this is how I'll do it. Josephine Reed. You've done many books for children, including The Wind in the Willows. And again, I think that's a title we all grew up with. And it's also, and correct me if I'm wrong, a book that is so likely to be heard by adults as well as children. I mean, that's one of those a parent will listen to with their kid. How did you walk that line of a book that's really supposed to appeal to adults as well as children? Simon Vance. I don't know that there's really a line in that sense. I think with a book like that, you cannot talk down to children. I think that's what makes it relatable. But with Wind in the Willows, what was hard for me coming to that was that I knew so many other versions had been done. I mean, I've seen TV programs, and the BBC did a lot of things like that. And of course, Ralph Cosham had a wonderful version out that my wife absolutely adored years ago. So when I was coming to it, I think I just had to wipe the slate clean and use my own experiences. Some of the TV programs that were on for children back in the day, English people who were born in the 50s or whatever, may remember these. There was Ragtag and Bobtail and Tales of the Riverbank, very similar to Wind in the Willows, and probably modeled on those that were influences to me. All those things go into making Wind in the Willows my own unique play. Are there any things that are difficult for you to narrate? Simon Vance. Lots of foreign words. W.G. Sebald wrote a book on the natural history of destruction. Lot of German quotes in that, so that was difficult. Also, he used, or his translator did, such extraordinarily long sentences that were quite convoluted, big paragraphs that had clauses inside clauses, and you can get halfway through another subclause and you think, hang on, I've lost the tone of where this comes out into the next bit. So those are difficult, but still incredibly rich. And it's sort of like climbing a mountain, you know? When you finally do it, you go, yay! And you'll love that mountain forever because you defeated it. And there's a sense that W.G. Sebald is difficult, but boy, so rich. And it brings you so much. I loved doing that. And that was our conversation with Simon Vance, conducted by Joe Reed. And this is a reminder that you are listening to the August-September issue of Audiophile Magazine. It's the magazine that wants you to discover the world of audiobooks. Now we will turn our attention to reviews in contemporary culture. Our first review today is The Weather Detectives, Rediscovering Nature's Secret Signs by Peter Wallenben, and it's read by Nicholas Guy Smith. This audiobook will inspire you to go out into your garden and look at it closely with new understanding. Wallenben's tour of the natural world just outside your door is given a genial and avuncular narration by Brit Nicholas Guy Smith. As Wallenben, who also wrote The Hidden Life of Trees, explores the secrets and seasons of the garden, from which plants can predict rain to which wildlife seen and unseen, might be passing through, Smith's steady, deliberate narration effectively delivers all of the fascinating tidbits. As the author is German, many of the specifics he mentions are Eurocentric, but there's plenty here to open up the world of your garden, no matter where in the world you happen to live. Jennifer M. Dowell wrote that review of The Weather Detective, Rediscovering Nature's Secret Signs by Peter Wallenben. It's read by Nicholas Guy Smith, and it's available from Random House Audio for 6.25 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in contemporary culture is The Destiny Thief, Essays on Writing, Writers, and Life. It's written and read by Richard Russo. Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist Richard Russo narrates this thoughtful audiobook aimed at writers and readers. While not blessed with an extraordinary voice, Russo's timing, wit, and delivery animate this memoir. One of our most gifted comic fiction writers, he shares his knowledge of the writing life and brings his empathetic spirit to the thorny subject of how best, in this era when anyone can publish, to enter the writing profession. He has seen the writer's world evolve and change from two vantage points, that of a struggling writer teaching in various outposts to make ends meet, and his loftier perch today as a novelist, screenwriter, and essayist who is read, admired, and well-paid. Fans, emerging writers, will find much to appreciate in his perspective. Alan D. Menskoff wrote that review of The Destiny Thief. It's written, Essays on Writing, Writers, and Life, written and read by Richard Russo. It's available from Random House Audio for 7.5 hours unabridged. Next, we have A More Beautiful and Terrible History, The Uses and Misuses of Civil Rights History. It's read by Jean Theo Harris, and it's read by Kim Staunton. With a note of defiance and pride and the authority of having grown up on the southeast side of Washington, D.C. during the turbulent 1960s and 70s, Kim Staunton narrates this blistering re-examination of the civil rights movement. Author Jean Theo Harris takes exception to the popularized notion that a few statues and plaques honoring Rosa Parks and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. somehow solved the problems of racial inequality in the United States. The truth is that even after the 1965 Civil Rights Act, many northern city school systems, including New York and Boston, remained as segregated as their southern counterparts. Staunton does adopt a sense of optimism while noting the movement's decades of incremental victories and reminding us that much work is still to be done. Brian Price wrote that review of A More Beautiful and Terrible History, The Uses and Misuses of Civil Rights History. It's written by Jean Theo Harris, read by Kim Staunton, available from Beacon Press for 11.25 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in contemporary culture is Creative Quest. It's written by Questlove, read by Questlove and others. The founding member of The Roots, Questlove, shares his insights about creative process through a discussion of his own idiosyncratic methods, plus those he has learned from others. He takes his own advice and produces a quirky audiobook which he delivers in a lively baritone voice. He doesn't hesitate to break into song, act a part, or if the situation calls for it, pull out his cell phone and call a friend for the correct pronunciation of a name while still recording. He even does what most audiobooks fail to do, include sound clips of the music or sounds he discusses. Both a solid guidebook on creativity and a memoir on Questlove, this audiobook is also a lot of fun. Lance Eaton wrote that review of Creative Quest. It's written by Questlove, read by Questlove and others, available from Harper Audio for 8.75 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Common Good by Robert B. Reich, read by the author. The title will tell you much of what you need to know about what this thoughtful audiobook has to say. Having served in three presidential administrations, the author and narrator, Robert Reich, has the knowledge and perspective to offer real solutions to why we are so divided as a nation. The United States was founded on the idea of the common good. Reich's point of view is that we need to assess what that is and how we can rekindle it. His narration is just as interesting as his ideas. Reich has a dark, robust, compelling voice that commands the microphone and demands attention. He even tries character voices, which are, well, interesting. Overall, he succeeds because he's reading from the heart. Robert I. Grundfest wrote that review of The Common Good, written and read by Robert B. Reich, available from Random House Audio for 5.25 hours, unabridged. Our next review is Fascism, A Warning by Madeleine Albright and Bill Woodward, read by Madeleine Albright. Former U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright knows fascism when she sees it. Her personal look at this recurring global political trend takes listeners back to her early childhood when she witnessed some of the consequences of fascism in Czechoslovakia. Known for her frank manner and direct approach, Albright brings these traits to her performance. Both qualities make her a strong narrator for this serious work. In an interesting departure from her formal persona, she shares insights about her private life all the way back to her teenage years in American high school. Her experiences as a diplomat serve her well as a narrator. She is confident, steady, and engaging. Mohana Rajakumar wrote that review of Fascism, A Warning, written by Madeleine Albright with Bill Woodward. It's read by Madeleine Albright, available from Harper Audio for 9 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have Not That Bad, Dispatches from Rape Culture. It's edited by Roxane Gay, and it's read by a cast of narrators. This anthology addressing rape is compelling and nauseatingly exhaustive collection that offers variety in tone, gender dynamics, and cultural practices, and so much more. Overall, the audiobook examines the normative ways humans intimately and violently respond to each other as social beings. It's bad, profoundly bad, in a wonderfully uncomfortable way. The authors are both familiar and unfamiliar voices who holler, quiet themselves, play with language, and reveal subtly and directly. Their work is heart-rending, passionate, threatening, and confusing. All are consistently speaking out of awareness and acknowledgement. To have the impact they do, the works must be narrated in different voices. Such a powerful and necessary collection. That review was by Tracy E. Curry of Not That Bad, Dispatches from Rape Culture, edited by Roxane Gay, read by a full group of narrators, available from Harper Audio for 8.75 hours, unabridged. Next we have Sharp, The Women Who Made an Art of Having an Opinion. It's written by Michelle Dean, read by Bernadette Dunn. The 10 women writers Bernadette Dunn brings to life in this provocative audiobook share a quality women are thought to dislike. All of them relished expressing strong emotions in print, regardless of whether they would hurt feelings or invite retaliation. A sisterhood this is not. None of these women thought of herself as a feminist. Confrontation is a fascinating subject for women, and Dean is a skilled biographer and incisive critic. Even listeners who are familiar with her subjects, who include Dorothy Parker, Mary McCarthy, Hannah Arendt, and Nora Ephron, will learn much here. Dunn's elegant performance adds great value to the insightful text. Her voice is lovely, and she has prepared impeccably, never missing the music in complex sentences and acing the trickiest pronunciations. Beth Gutchen wrote that review of Sharp, The Women Who Made an Art of Having an Opinion. It's by Michelle Dean, read by Bernadette Dunn, and it's available from Blackstone Audio for 11.5 hours unabridged. Finally today, we have Look Alive Out There, essays by Sloane Crosley, read by the author. In her latest collection of essays, author-narrator Sloane Crosley takes a sharp look at freelance life, traveling for work, making reproductive decisions, and dealing with her New York City neighbors. Her expressive, clear delivery conjures a variety of moods, such as her feeling of awkwardness while awaiting a cameo appearance on a TV series, her struggle with altitude sickness on an assignment in Ecuador, and her ready ability to laugh at herself and find sparks of joy even in frustrating situations. Crosley proves to be as entertaining a performer as she is a writer, changing up her cadence and timing and keeping listeners invested as she muses about life and the start of middle age. Her spot-on observations may be tempered by humor, but are no less truthful. Candace B. Levy wrote that review of Look Alive Out There, essays written and read by Sloane Crosley. It's available from Macmillan Audio for 6.25 hours unabridged. That's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we have reviews in history, biography, and memoir, including Earphones winner Barracoon, The Story of the Last Black Cargo by Zora Neale Hurston, read by Robin Miles, and Reporter, a memoir by Seymour M. Hersh, read by Arthur Morey. After that, we have a narrator highlight, speaking with Marin Ireland, and a review of her reading of Us Against You, Beartown, Book 2. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.